Welcome to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Episode 002, Greg Purdy. Greg is a self-proclaimed marketer, and he wears that term with a badge of courage, kind of. He's come up through the ranks. He's been selling a long time, and what links Greg interesting is he has a warehouse and he has staff, and I think that's a big deal. I know a lot of people are talking about that. And in this segment, Greg's going to talk a couple things. One of them is to sell what you know. So in his case, it's car parts. He knows car parts, or specifically Mustang parts, and that's how he got started. The risk in this business is this business becoming a job, and nobody really wants to have another job. They already have one, left one, or want to create a lifestyle business, right? So he talks really about enjoying what you do and not chasing the money. Love what you do and the money will come. Finally, in this segment, he's going to talk about training a replacement, and I think that's a big stepping stone for people and probably a big place where people get stuck. So let's get into the podcast. All right. Well, hey, thanks and welcome back to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. And again, tonight we have just another terrific interview with a great guy who I've really gotten to know over the last 2 years, I guess it had been, Greg Purdy. Welcome, Greg.
Hey, thanks for having me, Stephen.
Man, I really appreciate it. You know, Greg and I have hung out together several times, and Greg is what I'd like to call a marketer. I'm going to put that label right on you right up front. But, you know, Greg, you're married, you have kids. Why don't you just give us a little glimpse into your personal life, just so people could get some context around about you.
Yeah, sure. I live north of Baltimore. I'm in the state of Maryland, but I'm sitting in my warehouse right now. I'm 15 minutes from Pennsylvania. I'm 15 minutes from Delaware. So I'm in that corner of Maryland. Been married for 20 years to Pam. I have three daughters. Natalie is graduating high school in a couple of days. My middle daughter, Maddie, just got her driver's license permit. And my youngest daughter, Hannah, turns 13 this summer. So you kind of can see where I'm at what point of my life. I keep a lot of guns in the house to keep the guys away, and I'm very protective. I have a beautiful family, and the Lord's truly blessed me. That's it. I mean, that's me. You know, I work for myself, and I love my family.
That's great. Okay, so Greg, you know, you're truly an entrepreneur, and it really. I know a little bit of your story because we got to hang out together till very early in the morning, drinking maybe an adult beverage or two. And it fascinates me again how people become that entrepreneur. So really interested you could talk about your story, how you became one.
Yeah, it's interesting. I started getting into Mustangs, classic Mustangs, back as a teenager. I liked them before I was old enough to own them. And I got my first one. I traded a truck for a 64 and a half Mustang that was really a piece of junk, and it pretty much broke down right after that, so I wound up having to park it, and I borrowed some money from the bank as probably a 17-year-old and bought a 67 Mustang four-speed car that totaled about a month later, and so it got parked, and I bought another Mustang, and it broke down maybe a year later, so it got parked. So by the time I'm 18, I've got three Mustangs sitting in my yard, none of which are really operable. And people started coming by my house. I lived on a major road and asking me, hey, do you want to sell the hood off of that? Hey, do you want to sell this? So I started selling parts off of the cars in my own driveway and realized this is pretty profitable. So this was 18 years old, and I started going out looking for these old Mustangs. And next thing you know, I've got Mustangs everywhere. I branched out to other Fords from that and into other lines of cars, but all of them classic cars. But I really focused as much as I could on the Mustang, and I would buy them and advertise in the Baltimore Sun paper 7 days a week, every paper that came out, morning, evening sun, Sunday sun. I would run ads that I bought, sold, and traded Mustang parts. Got business cards made as an 18-year-old. Started going and doing the show circuit and selling car parts at shows. And blossomed into a decent business. I mean, I worked jobs, but I had that as a side business. And even to this day, I still sell classic car parts. I was listing classic car parts on eBay today. It's what I started with on eBay. It's what I still do. But that was my start into being in business for myself. I grew that business. I became very well known in the Mustang industry, actually, with the people that bought and sold Mustang parts. I hung out with a lot of the people that are still doing it today and doing it big time. You know, some of the big Mustang parts dealers in the country I knew as a teenager or as a young man, and we hung out, and they've stayed in it. I've got into other things, but that was my start into entrepreneurship, and from there it just developed.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because you basically just gave it a first real good nugget. You sell what you know. That's how you got started, is you were comfortable with that group, and you also had a market, right? You had other places to go source, in essence. So, you know, a great piece of advice for anybody new getting into the e-commerce business is to sell something you know. You already know that history. And I'm glad you mentioned that you're still selling that stuff, because I see your post out in Facebook, and I see, hey, this you know, this auto part, and I know the story, so it's really cool to see. You know, the fact that you still sell on eBay, you and I have a kinship there because we both love it. Let's talk about, you know, I mean, there was a stigma, you know, everything's Amazon FBA, right? Because let's face it, you know, it is, you get it out, you can do a huge volume. But you're like me in some ways, where you still love the hunt for eBay, and you're amazingly good at it, because I see some of your sales. And so why don't you talk for a second about that?
Yeah, I like eBay, and eBay was my the reason that I got on the internet was to get on eBay. And let me give you this story real quick, because it's really fascinating. I bought my first computer in 1994 when I got hired to be a low-level manager with a trucking company. And I figured, well, if I'm going to be in the office, I probably need to learn the computer. So I went and bought one, but I didn't get on the internet. And it was years later, my middle daughter had been born. About a month later, we went to Florida. I asked my mother-in-law if I could get on her computer and look at the internet, because I'd never been on. This was 1998. And I got on, and I started finding all these Mustang sites. And so I would look at the classified section, because at that time I was advertising in Hemmings Motor News. I was advertising in Mustang Monthly Magazine, different publications. And I looked at the classifieds, and I would see where people were posting wanted ads saying, I want this, I want that. And I'm thinking, I've got those parts. I have those things at home. So I would message them back, or use my mother-in-law's email to message these people while I'm on vacation in Florida and say, hey, I've got that part, but I don't have an email address. I'm not online. But, you know, you can call me, and at the time we didn't have cell phones and I wasn't at home, or you could send me a check and you could look me up in Hemmings and see that I'm legitimate. You could send me a check, I'll mail you that part when I get home. And I got home from Florida a week later and had two checks in the mailbox for my very first foray onto the internet. Had never seen the internet before, never been on it before, and I had money sitting in my mailbox when I got home. So as a result of that, I immediately went and signed up on the internet, got the internet at my house, dial up, and got on eBay and started selling stuff on eBay. Started with Mustang parts, selling stuff that I had that I knew would sell well. And so even today, now this has been 16 years, I got up in my attic today to change the filter for my air conditioner. And on the other side of the attic, I still have stuff that's been there for 15 years. And I put stuff away sometimes and say, I'll get to that later. And I got quite a few car parts out of the attic today that have been up there for 12 to 15 years, and brought them to the shop and started cleaning them and listing them on eBay. And there's, you know, it's fun for me. I don't necessarily enjoy every aspect of the listing and all, and the packaging and all. I enjoy the aspect of finding something that I know is worth more money than I paid for it and getting that sale. And now I can't hold on to everything for 15 years, but some things, especially if you're a collector, if you're a coin collector, it's not a big deal to put coins away and pull them out at a later date. It's not a big deal for a car parts collector or whatever to put some stuff away knowing that they're not making it anymore. So it's, you know, one day it might be worth more money. And so that's why I had stuff in the attic, and today was the day to pull it out.
That's a great story. You know, again, there's another nugget in there. Make sure you're still having fun and enjoying it. Because I think a lot of people, and I guess I read this out there. You tell me if you're seeing the same thing out in some of the groups that we're in. There are a lot of people starting to say, hey, this is hard work. This is a job, in essence, you know. And I think that that's the risk. You chase the money, and I just don't think that that's the way life is supposed to be. So hopefully some people learn it the better way and, you know, before it becomes too late. Now, you sell on eBay, you sell FBA. Are you selling on any other channels like Craigslist or other places?
Yeah, I sell on Craigslist. I have probably a dozen Facebook groups, and some of them are buy and sell groups. So I do sell on Facebook. I list things for sale. I signed up for Sears. I can honestly say I've never sold a single thing on Sears. So I say I'm on Sears, but I don't actively try to sell on Sears. But yeah, I'll sell any way I can. Now, I don't go set up at flea markets or yard sales. I will probably do a yard sale here at the shop just to get rid of some inventory that's come back that I don't feel like messing with. But or sometimes I get more of something than I really want, and I'll go ahead and maybe once a year throw a table out and get rid of it. But I'm not into the yard sale scene or the flea market scene. I don't really have time to do it. Sundays are is a day of going to church and spending with the family, so I don't go to sales on those days. And Saturday, I'm usually busy doing other things. And that seems to be the 2 days where if I was going to get into yard sales and flea markets, I'd have to devote those days to doing it. But yeah, I sell where the buyers are. So if I find a place where people congregate looking for things, I'll make sure that I put myself out there as a seller.
And it'll be interesting to see how 11 Main does or Jet. I know Jet's getting really ready to launch soon. I think just saw something on him. Now, let's just move into the next area because, you know, you're a seasoned seller. It's not like you're new at this business. And I'm sure it's all been rainbows and unicorns and flowers. But I bet you there's been a struggle or two that you've come across that you've had challenges with. And what was really interesting hearing Andy's response to this, what his biggest struggle is, I'm intrigued to see if yours is similar. So go ahead, give it to us and just let us know what a new, maybe not such a new entrepreneur, because you've been doing it long enough, you're still running into these, you know, challenges or what have you. So maybe a little more seasoned struggle that you've run into.
You know, my biggest struggle, I had to think about it, and my biggest struggle that I can pinpoint was coming to the realization that I could train somebody to do what I do. You know, I guess maybe I think I'm so smart that nobody else could do what I do, and yet there's only so many hours in the day, and I was not achieving what I needed to achieve in the hours that I could devote to it. And I knew that I needed help, but in my mind, there's no way anybody could do what I do because, you know, I think this through a certain way and I have this philosophy that determines which way I price things or whatever, and there's no way I could teach somebody to do that. And I struggled, and I finally went ahead and brought somebody on board part-time, and in my mind was just going to give them the most basics of tasks to do for me because there's no way they could do any more. Well, now 2.5 years later, you know, he pretty much runs my business for me, you know, and allows me time to go out and find new ventures and new avenues because I was able to train him. And more importantly, he was able to pick it up. It wasn't a matter that I was such a great trainer. It's a matter of, you know, when I go to conferences or when I look online and I see there's, 10,000 people in this group, and guess what? They all do the same thing. Once I started realizing that, I realized, well, you know what? If I think that I can't train someone to do it, the problem is with me as a trainer. It's not with them as someone who's learning to do it. And it was hard for me to turn over the reins because I thought, yeah, he's going to mess it up. And you know what? It really didn't happen. And I have total trust in Jeremy. And Jeremy's a guy that I'm speaking of. You know, we still discuss things from time to time, and I check up on him. I'll say, "What'd you price that at?" And we'll discuss it sometimes. But it's not a matter of, "Hey, you know, you're 2 cents too cheap. You need to raise the price." We'll discuss what I'm thinking about it. We'll discuss what he's thinking about it. And you know what? More often than not, he's right on the same page with me. So it was a struggle at first, but we got through that, and it's turned out to be a great benefit for my business.
That's awesome. You know, we're going to take a break, but when I come back, I want to unpack that just a little bit more, because I think that is a place a lot of people get stuck. All right, so let's just pause. We'll be back in a moment. Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com. Okay, before we start back up, I would like to mention a few things Greg's going to talk about in this segment. First off, he says something that's a little counterintuitive to my logic. He talks about not finding an experienced person. His phrase is, you cannot untrain them. So in his case, you know, having somebody set up eBay listings or Amazon listings, those bad habits they would bring with them aren't worth it. You want to show them the way you want it done, correct, right from the beginning. That's good advice. Second one he talks about is not to get too mired down in the details. And here, again, is something that I think goes against what I would do, is I want to check everything, make sure it's perfect. He's like, no, good enough. He would check them in total and say, you know what, that's close enough. I think that they're good. Every so often, he'd check a few things, but nothing too much, and he would give them some rope, and I think that's good advice, too. And finally, in this segment, he talks about defining boundaries with staff, and I think that's a big piece of advice because, in his case, he was letting them into his house, and I think that's where a lot of people are still working at. So I think this is very relevant to what we're doing today. So let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back. And just before we left, Greg has talked about his biggest struggle, which is to train somebody what he does. And I think this is such a relevant topic because I think we can't do it all yourself. You need a break. You need to find some balance. And you spoke a lot about your balance with your family, you know, Sundays, church time, and family time. You got that balance, and that sounds great. But now you're working on other projects, and the only way you're getting to do that is you're not running the day-to-day, you know, every minute of the day. So let's just talk a little bit more about Jeremy and how you trained him. So I know he was a college student, and so clearly he had some technical skills. Is that – I mean, how did you – if you were going to recommend to somebody who's saying, hey, I would love to get some help, but I have no clue where to start – take us through that.
So I started with somebody that I knew and that I trusted. One of the young men from the church. I know his mother and father. I know his father's parents. I know his cousins. I know his whole family, or not all of them, but all the ones that go to our church. Very wonderful family. So I started with someone that I trusted, and that's, I think, key for anybody that you hire, because, you know, if you don't trust somebody, it's going to be a major barrier to moving forward. So somebody that I trusted, and it was also great because he had never, the questions that I asked him when I interviewed him was, have you ever listed anything on eBay before? Well, he had not. Have you ever bought anything from eBay? I can't remember. I think maybe he had bought one thing. He never created a classified ad for a newspaper to sell something. He never posted anything on Craigslist. And that, to me, that was a big plus because I knew that I did not have to untrain him and retrain him, because people develop mindsets and they develop a certain skill set and they develop patterns. And a lot of times maybe they're doing it in a way that I wouldn't do it, and I didn't really want to have to untrain him in order to train him. So that worked out well. So I started with somebody that was a
– Well, let's just pause a second there. Let me ask you a question about that, because that is – a golden nugget, because the logical thing you would think would be, oh, go find somebody who's already sold on the services, right? Oh, go find somebody who already knows what they're doing. But your point is, no, not that you're putting them down, but they have their way of doing things,
yeah.
And you want somebody to do things, because you had already said that you didn't realize that you could transfer your skills over to somebody else, and yet you figured it out. So there's a real piece of great information there. Don't bring in somebody who's already have those preconceived notions and preconceived habits. That's a big deal. Yeah, Greg. I don't think most people would do that.
If I was hiring him solely to pack boxes, well, maybe I would have thought of it differently. If I was hiring him to create a website for me, obviously I would want someone that knows what they're doing. But hiring someone to list things on Amazon, well, at the time, actually, I started him with eBay. So let's go back to the initial thing that I hired him to do, which was to sit across the table from me. At the time, I had an office in my house. I moved up to the dining room table when I hired him because my office wasn't big enough to support both of us. And he sat across the table from me on one laptop. I was on another. And I would list to have him look over my shoulder. I would have him list. I would look over his shoulder. We would discuss things together. I would give him prices. I would tell him what to write. I would tell him why I wrote certain things. I taught him how to do titles. You know, so he was doing it the way that I wanted it done because my eBay listings are a reflection of me. And I'm very much anal about that because, you know, just simple things like spelling. I'm a stickler for spelling. And if someone is as uneducated as me can spell properly, then and if they have spell check programs on every computer that you go on, well, then there's no reason to have something misspelled. And it's a reflection of whoever's creating that listing, which if that's on my eBay account, that's a reflection on me. So I want my things spelled properly. And so I would just drive these things home to him, what I do want, what I don't want. And, you know, so it's never going to be exactly the way I would do it. He'll never create a listing. If we sat down to list the exact same thing when we're done, our listing is going to be totally different. But he does it well enough, and I can accept what he does, and he accepts what I've taught him, and it's the way that I want it. If it's not exact, I'm fine with it, you know, because it's close enough to what I've asked for. And so I wanted to start with someone that hadn't been listing on eBay for 2 or 3 years, didn't have their own certain way that they like to do things, because you'll never untrain somebody. You know, they'll always revert back to what they're comfortable with, and I didn't want to start with that. So that worked out well. And then from that, I brought him in and let him start listing on Amazon for me, scanning things in, and then I would price. After that, I started allowing him to price, and I would review everything before I would let it go live. And what I started with that would work out really well is for several days, I would have him list, let's say, 100 items and price them based on what he had learned. And then I would sit down, and I would price them all, and I would compare the bottom line. That's all I compared. I didn't go back and look at each one individually. I would compare the bottom line. And if his bottom line was $1,000 and my bottom line was $1,020, it's close enough, right? And if there's a mistake in there, I was fine with it. Now, to be honest, I did look at everything for the first couple times, but the bottom line was I was looking at the bottom line. And for a couple days, I did that and realized, okay, you know what? He's pretty close to where I would be, a few dollars more, a few dollars less. On the overall picture, I'm fine with it. I started letting him go on his own at that point. And it took a few months from start to finish, but after a few months of having him sit across the table from me, I was able to leave the house and let him stay there and do the work.
Oh, that's a question that came to mind. So would you say it was 3 months? I mean, is that, you know, I think people might have some unrealistic expectations. Hey, I showed them how to do it. They didn't pick it up in a week. So you're saying how many months for that?
Well,
till you got comfortable?
Part of it was eBay, and we did eBay together for quite a while before I moved him into the Amazon side. I would have him doing eBay. I'd be across the table doing Amazon. And when I moved him to the Amazon side, there was a long period of time where all he would do was just scan and assign a condition and put in a condition note or whatever that needed to be done and print labels and box and ship. When he finally got to where he was pricing, there was a couple of weeks where I would review every night and let them go live at that point. And then there was a few days where I would let him actually assign the prices and I would just prepare the bottom line. And then after that, it went where he was just pricing. And I did spot checks pretty much every other day for a couple of weeks. And then I did spot checks every week for a couple of months until I was just comfortable that he had it. And is he going to make mistakes? Absolutely. You know, I make mistakes.
Yeah, I was going to say you make mistakes, right?
Yeah, I mean, we discuss that all the time. My mistakes that I make today are different than the mistakes that he might make today. You know, my mistake might be I bought something that I thought was new in the box and it had been re-shrink-wrapped. My mistake might be I didn't notice this rip on the piece of clothing that I just bought. You know, my mistake is a little different but I make mistakes. I sure do.
Well, you know, another great piece of advice that I heard in there was you said it was close enough. So, you know, the what is it? The enemy of great is good, or the enemy – I forget exactly how that goes. But think about it, right? If he made a $20 mistake, it's minuscule. It's just a minuscule thing. And so you were able to do volume with checking to say, hey, that's reasonable. And I think that that's the point, is you have to be reasonable and not look for perfection, because you're never going to get it.
Yeah, that's true.
How did you define – well, maybe you haven't. I'm intrigued to know. How do you define boundaries? You know, this guy has keys to your place. He sees your financial – he knows you're making money, obviously. You're paying him. How do you define the boundaries between that?
It's a trust issue again, and I'm probably too trusting, not of him, but in general, I'm trusting of people that I'm comfortable with. He's got keys to my building. Jen's got keys to my building. He knows where my key to my house is. He's got access to all my accounts. He knows how much money's in my bank account, because I need him to be able to access things at certain times. Could I do that with somebody I hired off the street? Absolutely not. I could not. If I have to replace Jeremy tomorrow, could I find someone else? I absolutely could. And you know, because I know where I would go to find them. And I know people that I trust. And I know people that I trust that I could ask, who would they recommend? So it's just, you know, Jeremy has no boundaries as far as access to my information. And this is the way it needs to be, because, again, sometimes I call him up when I'm on the road and I say, I need you to go in here and transfer this or do that. And I need him to be able to do it. So he may not have to ever do it, but he knows where to get the information to handle the part of my business I need him to handle. So,
yeah, that's great. I'll tell you, that's really exciting stuff, because I think, again, you know, the goal of this podcast is, you know, of course we talk people and products, but we really want to work on process, because, you know, great segue into one of your next little ventures is a conference. You put on a conference,
right?
Momentum Conference down in Baltimore, and I was one of the speakers. And I don't know if you remember when about half the room kind of got stuck, and they were asking a really lot of great questions. And I think that people realize that they need help. They don't know how to go about it. And so I think you're just giving us some great tools. So, again, it's find someone you trust, find someone you know. Don't be afraid to hire somebody who doesn't know your business, because that's what you want, kind of, is somebody who you can mold into the business that you want, rather than bring their habits and traits with them.
Yeah, I think that's good advice in the right situation. And, again, like I said, if I was going to hire somebody to steam clean my carpets, I would probably not want to get somebody who's never touched a vacuum cleaner or a steam cleaner before. But if you're going to have someone who's packing boxes, man, wouldn't you rather have them do it the way that you want them to do it than to have them do it the way that they've always done it, especially if the way they've always done it maybe is not the way that Amazon wants it, or the way that you would want your customer to receive that item if it was an eBay customer. So I would rather train somebody in those things. I think that, I guess if we'll go back to the trust issue, you know, maybe if you've just moved to the middle of nowhere and you know nobody around there, maybe you don't have anybody that you trust. I don't know what to suggest in that case. Maybe you need to maintain the control of your business, of those things that you can't hand off to somebody that you haven't built a trust relationship with. But, I mean, trust is one of those things. You know, you marry your wife or your husband, and, you know, you develop a trust, and they have access to stuff that nobody else in this world has access to, and you trust them with that. They know things about you that nobody else knows, and you trust them with that. And your business is not a marriage in any sense, but, you know, you have to know what things that you can release to somebody and trust them with it. Now, if somebody ever betrayed my trust, you know what? They probably could never get it back. But if they've done nothing to betray that trust, I'm more than willing to give them that trust.
And it is a two-way street. So, you know, you have to be – they have to be able to trust you. Right, because you got their future in their hands. So, I mean, I think that's a big deal. So, demonstrate that trust, you get that trust too. So, you're giving us some great, great tools. And I'm thinking about what I would answer this question for you, being a friend who's seen you in action. What would you say is your biggest strength as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I'm an idea person. I spend a lot of time thinking. thinking things through. I get a lot of ideas. You know, I pick up the phone a lot of times, and I call Jeremy. And I say, hey, write this down. You know, 'cause I'll be driving down the road. Put this down, and you know, he'll put it up on the whiteboard, or he'll write it on a piece of paper, or we'll bat it around a little bit. Or I'll be, you know, if I'm on my phone and I'm, you know, have access to the Facebook Messenger, I'll hit that and I'll record a little 60-second blurb or whatever of an idea that I had, so we can discuss it later. So I come up with a lot of ideas. They're all original in the sense that I do think them up, but then sometimes I look into them and realize, well, you know, it's already being done. So they're not original in that sense. And we say, okay, that's not going to work because it's already being done by 15 other people. I just had never heard of it before. But I do, I think that my strength would be that I come up with a lot of ideas of business ventures, of just things that we need to look into that we can add to our business, different ways that we can do things. Just things pop into my head. A lot of times they're totally ridiculous, but I try to get them out of my head and get them into somebody else's ears. A lot of times just the fact that, you know, if I say it, sometimes just saying it, I realize how ridiculous it sounds. Sometimes I say it and the person can bounce it back to me and I realize it doesn't make sense anymore. Or sometimes just getting it out of my head allows me to focus on something else and I'm not dwelling on something that may never come to fruition. So I come up with a lot of ideas, and a lot of those ideas have been good and have been profitable to our business.
That's great. So let's ask the obvious question. What's your biggest weakness?
My biggest weakness is I come up with a lot of ideas.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has to be the same thing.
You probably know, and the reason is, and of course I'm undiagnosed, but and I'm making fun of no one, I have very severe ADD. I know I do. I'll give you a funny story. You know, my wife was watching one night I was watching the public television where the guy did a complete hour or two on ADD, and I'm watching that. I was so intrigued by it because I'm like, wow, this guy really knows me. Well, my wife ordered the book, and so I come downstairs one night. She's sitting on the chair in the family room, and she's crying, and I'm like, what are you crying about? She goes, this book, this is you. This book is describing you. And she's crying about it because it's so much describing me, and it's a book about adults with ADD. And so I got to read that when you're done. Well, you know how much I got through. I got through a couple pages, put it down, never got back to it. But, you know, and it's unfortunate because I've never been able to get past those weaknesses. I'm very into starting a lot of projects. Again, I'm an idea person. I start a lot of things, and a lot of those things never get finished. I'm also very forgetful. If I don't write something down, I will forget it within a couple minutes. But if I write it down, I may forget where I wrote it down. So it's one of those things that I struggle with. It's a weakness. It's a struggle for me. We laugh about it here at the shop a lot. You know, it's funny at times. It's also discouraging at times because I recognize it as a weakness in myself that I've not overcome.
Well, at least you recognize it, and I think that's half the battle. You know, and we're going to talk a little bit about technology, but now, today, there's just so many things you've already described where you can call Jeremy and, hey, write this down. Or I notice you send a lot of messages via voice messenger, and I just think that's just so smart. So I think you have addressed some of it, so don't sell yourself short. But you still tell us what you're struggling with now. You know, where are you challenged at? What's your limit?
I guess my struggle now is balance and just balancing the time commitments between the business because we are very busy right now. We have a lot of things going on. I'm up late pretty much every night. I'm up early in the morning. We have a lot of things going on, and I'm also graduating a daughter and there's other things going on at home. You know, with family thing. We've got the graduation party for the family. We've got the graduation party for all the friends. So there's two parties being planned. We've got vacation we're planning, conferences we're planning. So there's a lot of, you know, and it's no different than anybody else. It's a struggle for me because of my personality and trying to maintain balance. I'm on different committees. I'm on different boards. So I have other commitments outside of my business, my volunteering and things. So it's always a struggle for me to maintain a proper balance in life. And I do struggle with it, but it's, you know what? It feels good to struggle. It really does. It feels good to have a lot going on. I would much rather have more going on than be sitting here twiddling my thumbs, and I perform much better under pressure. So sometimes it's a self-imposed pressure by taking on more than I can actually accomplish, but it forces me to perform. And it's one of the things that, you know, I'm a procrastinator by nature. It bothers my wife, but I can wait to the last minute and get something done, and I don't sweat it. I don't think about it until the last minute, and then I just do it. In my mind, I know, okay, that's a one-hour task, and an hour and 5 minutes before it's due, I'll start on it and I'll get it done, as opposed to finishing up a week earlier. So it's another weakness, and it's a struggle, but it's one that I've learned to accept.
I think it's a very common issue that keeps coming up. Time commitments. That's the biggest struggle. And I think there's that balance issue. I think it's getting help where you need help and reaching out. You know, I think relationships also help a lot with that, where you have somebody you can just bounce off of or send a note to, hey, you know, or, and let's face it, Facebook has been a huge asset in that world, because you're able to throw out a question like, I saw you had a pair of jeans and you're wondering if they're real, right? How did that pan out, by the way? I didn't get to see the end.
I don't remember.
It was a pair of jeans, and it had an unusual tag on it, I think it was a white tag or something, and you were like, hey, it looks right. Well, anyway, I think that's time constraints are absolutely just one of those things that I think most of us balance or have trouble with. So, you know, I'm not certain we got a chance to talk about this, but have you had any mentors in this business or advisors?
Not per se in the Amazon, eBay world. I follow people from afar. I make a lot of friends in the business, you know, and make sure that they know who I am. And that way, if I need to get a question answered, I'll do it. You know, I'll throw it out there. Prior to getting into internet marketing, we'll call it e-commerce, I did a stint for about 6 years in network marketing. Don't recommend it to anybody, but hey, yeah, I mean, a lot of people do it, and I actually had some moderate success in it. And there were people there that I would consider business mentors, or people that kind of got my mindset correct, you know, got me thinking the right way, got me understanding business. And I, even though I probably, you know, would never get back into network marketing, I think I learned a lot about business by being in it. I think a lot of people will get into network marketing and never make any money, but if they stick around long enough, they'll get their mind right? And then if they can take those mindsets and apply it to something where they can make money, they can maybe be pretty successful.
I think you're right on. You apply those skill sets that you learn, and you just transfer them to the next endeavor.
Sure.
How about advice? I mean, is that a place what would be the best piece of advice you've gotten?
That's a hard one. You know, if I remember one time a guy said, if you do the uncomfortable long enough, it will in time become comfortable. And that's proven to be very true for me, because what's uncomfortable for me, the one thing that I say my biggest fear would be or would have been the fear of speaking in public. And really, you know, speaking one-on-one, I've gotten pretty good with that. I'm okay with that. I'm not good at it, but I've gotten way beyond where I used to be. But speaking to groups, I struggle with that. But I grew up with a fear of people. I grew up afraid to talk to adults as a kid. I was a very backward kid, and I grew up afraid of people in general, afraid of adults. And so once I just give you an example, when I started selling car parts and I started running ads in the Baltimore Sun as an 18-year-old, if the phone rang, I would pick the phone up and talk. If the phone rang and the person left a message, I would never call them back because I was too scared. I was scared of the phone. I was scared of people. And I dealt with that for years and years and years. I mean, I had a fear of the phone. You try to do marketing when you're afraid to pick up the phone prior to the internet days. It was a hard thing. I have a fear of speaking to groups of people. So the way, of course, that I overcame that is I forced myself to do it. If you do the uncomfortable long enough, it will in time become comfortable. And I forced myself to do things that I really, really was uncomfortable doing because I knew that I had to get past that point. I had to get to where at least it was comfortable enough that my heart wasn't pounding, that I could do it. And honestly, like even the conference last month, you know, it's not an easy thing for me to do, and I'm not good at it, but, you know, 10 years ago, could I have done that? Probably not, or maybe 10, yeah, but 20 years? No, I absolutely could not. I used to do a weekly business meeting when I was in network marketing in front of a group of people. I had to do a presentation in front of a group, you know, in a hotel, in a library, wherever we would be, in a restaurant. And sometimes there would be, you know, 50 people, 60 people, whatever. And I would have to get up in front of these people that a lot of them I didn't know and give a presentation. And it was the hardest thing in the world. But when they asked for somebody that would do it, I volunteered because I knew that if I was ever become successful, I had to be able to do that part of the business. I didn't want somebody else to be building my business for me. I wanted to do it. So I forced myself into those situations in order for them to become comfortable. So the best advice I ever received was do that enough times and eventually it'll become comfortable.
I think that's great advice, and I think it's, again, transferable over to, you know, FBA world, right? Getting yourself ungated in a particular event. Yeah, it's cheaper, it's easier to pay somebody, but boy, you learn something, and let's face it, in clothing, for example, you need those skills because if you're going to try and add something. In your case, you created how many listings? I think you told me offline was 300 Amazon listings.
I say of course, I've got people here, but I started doing it, and now I've got other people to do it. But, yeah, we've created, I would say, at least 400 listings, and if I could find the sheet, I could tell you. But we have sheets with 200, 250 UPCs on it, and we scratch through them as we go. And I know we're way through our second sheet, so I think they're 250 on a sheet. But, yeah, so we've created a lot of listings. And, I mean, again, some things I want other people to do for my business, but I like knowing how to do things. First, you know, at least being able to do that.
I think that's great advice. You know, are you, you had mentioned that you're not a kind of a big reader. Are you doing any podcasts or books on tape that you could recommend to our listeners? You know who our listeners are, the type of listener we would have. You know, do you have any recommendations that you could throw out for us?
Yeah, sorry to say, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, and it's something that we've discussed here in the shop that I think I'm really missing out on. So I think I need to be spending some more time with that. I guess the last two books that I've purchased, one was a recommendation from a friend. He recommended a book by Robert Cialdini. It's called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. It basically teaches you the why people say yes, so therefore you can learn how to get them to say yes in business. Then there's another book, I guess the one I bought before that was called Growing a Business by Paul Hawkins. So I do read. Actually, I read a decent amount. I don't read as much as I would like to. I used to read a lot more than I do now. I usually have four or five books at a time going. Different rooms of the house, I have a book, whatever. So if I'm in that room, I can pick it up. I read business, and I read nonfiction, and I read the Bible. That's the three things that I read. I don't read fiction books. I don't read for the enjoyment. I read to learn. I do listen. The last thing that I listened to actually was the book about Amazon, the Everything Store, which was really eye-opening to the business that I'm in. So I decided to listen to that to get a little insight into Jeff Bezos and his philosophy.
That's great. All right. So, you know, we talk about this podcast, we're coming to an end, right? And the thing that I'm really looking forward to is really trying to find that person who is stuck or who can't move forward because there's that time issue that we just got done discussing, right? So what I'm looking for from you is just the best, quickest, achievable process improvement that listeners can put in place this week, not next week, not next month, something they can do right now to move their business forward.
I tell you what I would do. a lot of people talking about hiring VAs to do parts of their business, and a lot of people are struggling with the thought of doing that. You know, you can go on to Elance or one of these websites similar to that. I use Elance and hire somebody for whatever rate. I've got a guy in India that's doing some video editing for me. I mean, it's $20-some dollars an hour. I got a guy in Romania that's doing some data entry for me for $4 an hour. There's a wide range of prices. I would recommend, before you need someone, before you have a time deadline, a time-sensitive task that you have to get done, I would go on and learn how it works. I would go on to Elance, hire somebody to do some data entry for you, hire someone to edit a document for you, hire someone to transcribe a video for you, just something, so you can understand how the process works of using that service, how to hire the person, how to pay the person, how the whole system works. So then in your business, when you get to the point where there's something pressing you and you've got to get it done, you're familiar with that service enough that you can jump on there and hire it out, and you don't risk getting up against a deadline or something because you don't know how to do it at that point. So you're basically learning how to use something before you really need to use it. I think it would be a valuable thing. And you know what made me think of that is one of the things, I hope you don't mind me sharing, one of the things that you said in the conference, and you advise people that sell on Amazon to open an eBay account and to do it now and to get it set up, because if you get kicked off on Amazon tomorrow and you don't have that, and then you go try to set it up, you're going to be facing listing restrictions, you're going to be facing PayPal money restrictions and all those things. But if you set it up now and if a period of time goes by and then you need it, you're already ready to go and you don't have all those restrictions facing you, right? So I'm thinking the same thing with this. Learn how to use a service before you actually need to use it, so then when you get to the point where you need it, you're already ready to go.
That's great. Great, great, great. Oh, really good stuff. And I think that is so applicable today. Okay, Greg, you're out there on Facebook. You mentioned that you're in multiple Facebook community groups. And then you have this little other program, Seller Essentials, that you're working on. Why don't you give us a little bit about that, just a brief introduction to that. And then how can people find out more information about that?
Seller Essentials, SellerEssentials.com is a website idea that we came up with some time back. And it's basically just a business solution website for people that are in the e-commerce industry, where they can get resources and solutions to their needs. People that sell on eBay, people that sell on Amazon, people that do wholesale or liquidation or private label, just people, booksellers. You know, we're not trying to be all things to all people. We're trying to provide ancillary services to people that are in the e-commerce industry, to professionals or people that want to become professional. So we set up SellerEssentials.com. It's been a passion of mine. We've been working very steadily on it. At the time of this recording, the Amazon side of it, we're doing a soft launch tomorrow, and we have the eBay side coming right behind that. We've got some other things happening with the site. So Seller Essentials is the website that I've been working on. We're also working on the Momentum brand of conference. I'm not going to speak a whole lot on that, but there's a Momentum USA Facebook group where I do communicate with people that want to be a part of that group. So you could always check me out at Momentum USA. We did the Momentum 2015 conference in Baltimore, and we have the videos from that. They're in production now. Actually, about two-thirds of them are done, waiting on the last one-third, and we'll be releasing those through the Momentum USA Facebook group and the SellerEssentials.com website.
That's awesome. Hey, you know, I just want to say thank you again for, you know, taking your time, a busy guy, you're still at work, and taking the time to come out and help people move forward. Not a lot of people would really give that much effort, and I just really want to say thank you and really appreciate what you do.
Hey, Stephen, you're a great guy. I enjoy your friendship. I appreciate your friendship. And I wish you much success with your podcast. And I appreciate you reaching out because I believe that you have something to offer the community. And I know your desire is to help, and I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.